Hi there, and welcome to the Engage Customer Podcast, where you'll discover the latest insights, opinions, and trends within the industry.
Today we're joined by Martin Hill-Wilson and Mark Billingham. Martin is one of the chairs of our virtual Future of the Contact Center conference, taking place on the 10th and 11th of February, and is also the founder of Brain Food Consulting. He designs masterclasses and transformational change to help clients evolve their social and digital capabilities. Mark is a case study presenter at our upcoming conference and is Group Customer Operations Director and COO at The Very Group. Mark has had a varied career spanning 15 plus years across operational management, transformation and customer experience. In both 2018 and 2019, The Very Group were recognised back-to-back as industry leading at the European Call Centre Awards for their customer transformation programmes, which in just 12 months improved transactional net promoter score by 70 points, first contact resolution by 22 points and reduced overall customer contact by 30%.
Hello and welcome to this Engage Customer podcast. Today we're going to be talking about the Future of the Contact Center conference, and in particular, we are going to be talking to one of the speakers, Mark Billingham. My name is Martin Hill-Wilson, and I'm going to be chairing on the day, and Mark is going to be speaking at just 5 minutes before midday on the 10th of February. So good morning, Mark. How are you? And tell us a little bit about who you are.
Good morning, Martin. So I'm Mark Billingham. I'm the Customer Experience Director and Contact Centre Director here at The Very Group. For those who don't know, The Very Group, we're the second largest online retailer in the UK and a big financial services business, selling all sorts of products from a department store type basis.
Fantastic. And in terms of the presentation you're going to be giving us, what are you going to be covering?
Quite a bit, actually, Martin. I'm going to be covering pretty much the last kind of couple of years here at The Very Group in terms of how we've evolved a number of things, our technology strategy, our customer closeness in terms of making sure our agents are empowered, and then where we're going to take that in the future post the COVID world, where obviously lots of changes have had to happen and, you know, successfully happened here and across a lot of other businesses as well.
Indeed. So I know you've been doing some really terrific work with the team, and there's been lots and lots changing. In terms of what your North Star has been, you know, what's your vision for The Very Group?
That's a really interesting phrase, given our key project is actually called North Star, Martin. So we obviously, think a lot. But our North Star is not one that will be different to a lot of organisations out there. You know, we want to provide great customer experiences and great customer service for our customers. We want to provide fantastic self-service where people want self-service. But if people want to speak to us, then we want empowered, engaged and really great agents to be able to speak to customers on a daily basis. And I'm not a customer service director who sits here thinking that I never want to speak to customers again and that we want to create robots here, there and everywhere. We do want to use robots, but for the right purposes where they support customers and they help them with self-service, there has to be a balance for me of the right technology, the right self-service for customers alongside fantastic colleagues who support customers through moments of truth. And we're trying to find the right balance of that. And that's what our North Star aims towards, Martin. The right technology investment, the right CRM system powered by great people.
So just sort of unpacking that a bit more in terms of the balance, you know, between the technology and the human, what ideally do you want the people side of that equation to be focused upon? And what do you really want the technology to be doing as a result in balance to that?
So I'm always a fan of first contact resolution, Martin, as you well know. And I want our advisors to be wholly focused on solving customers' queries first time in the right way for customers. Given the right knowledge, given the right tools to do that for customers is where the huge technology investment goes in for us. And we're currently investing in a 2-year CRM program to invest in the knowledge for our people, the systems and the technology to allow them to really do their job in the best way, allowing them then to just have great conversations with our customers and talk to them about the things that they need to talk to, showing the right empathy and solving those customer issues. Now, up front, you know, lots of things go wrong. And in every business, lots of things go wrong. Most of them should be able to be self-served where, you know, if that's tracking a parcel in our world, as an example, or paying a bill, then most of that should be able to be done through self-service. I want that balance of our colleagues to really talk to customers when something's gone wrong and when we need to reassure a customer and when we need to support a customer through a process. And we sell lots of stuff here at the Very Group, from clothes through to, you know, things like washing machines and beds, you know, more distressed purchases where people need stuff quicker and where it's, you know, an essential for them in their home. And I want my teams to be focused on sorting those sorts of products out for customers so that we can give them a great experience and we can help them when they really need us.
And I know that you've done some really exciting things and effective things on the self-service side of life. Are you going to be sharing some of the statistics and the progress on your presentation on where you've got to on that?
I will. There may even be a live demo in there if I can get it to work on the day. Virtual conference. These virtual conferences are a new conundrum when it comes to technology. But we'll be showing where we've got to with our virtual assistant and I guess for info, and I'll share some more of this on the day. Our virtual assistant now speaks to about 200,000 customers a week. Over our peak period, we're speaking to over 1 million customers a month, and 75% of customers who use it don't need to contact the contact center afterwards, which is a fantastic achievement. But it's not one of those virtual assistants or bots that tries in every single way possible for you not to speak to the contact center. If we can't answer a query, or you just type can I contact you into it, then it'll give you the access to the right team straight away. It's a concierge service as much as anything. It'll point you to the right self-service, but if you need somebody, it'll point you to the right team straight away, cutting out the frustration of those things like transfers and incorrect dials. But as I say, 75% of customers who've used it over our peak period haven't needed to contact the contact center in the preceding 24 hours. So I think it's working well. We're getting good feedback from customers, but there's still a lot we can build into it. I guess a bot's like if it effectively starts like a child and you know, we're training it to be an adult. It's probably an adolescent at the minute, Martin, to be fair, I think. So there's a way to go yet.
Well, that's not so bad. But it's a very important point you make there, that it's not a deflection bot. It's not trying to swat you away. It's trying to enable you. And I think contextually, that absolutely is a key point. And lots of customers experience that frustration. So there's some of the output that you've achieved. I mean, diving back now to the strategy, you know, the thing that's been driving this, what's been the most important things that you've looked to in the strategy to make sure you're getting those kinds of outcomes?
It's been really the understanding of our customers. So every strategy for me starts with, why do your customers need you? What's the best way to solve that for a customer? And move forward from there, really. And we did that piece of work a couple of years ago now to look at every reason why a customer contacts us. And I naively, as I came into this business, thought we're a retail business. People buy stuff. People need to return stuff. People need to pay stuff. How many reasons to contact us can there be? Well, there were 10,000 different reasons, so I slightly underestimated that one. And I think that piece of work up front to really understand all the reasons why a customer contacts us and to continually refresh that, because, you know, reasons change, processes change, products change. Keeping that knowledge base up to date is the start of any strategy for me. What we then did is we then said, well, actually, a number of these customer queries can resolve digitally. Let's build a bot. The rest need to be solved by a human being. Let's build great web chat and voice teams, and let's equip them with the right technology moving forward. And I think as the final bit of that, which is a really important bit where we've had huge success, is empowering our frontline agents to also identify, spot, and to fix issues as well, Martin. And we've had great success with that. We've reduced our call volumes by nearly 60% over the last 3 years, and a lot of that hasn't been through technology. A bit of it's through the bot, as we've talked about, but the majority of it has been resolving queries first time, or just getting rid of unnecessary queries by finding out all the stupid things that we do to customers and stop doing them for customers. And there's some great examples in there around the way we've delivered stuff. A dead interesting one, if you're interested in this in a geeky way like I am, was when we weren't texting, we were sending customers an email to confirm their order had gone through, but we weren't sending them a text. Now, for anyone who's worked in these channels knows, customers hardly ever read their emails, and therefore we were getting loads of calls from customers to confirm their orders had gone through. As soon as we started sending that text, we saw nearly a million calls a year drop out of our call centre. And simple things like that where our advisors just tell us, well, if customers are ringing us because they're not sure whether their order's gone through, well, why are they not sure? Well, they've not checked their emails. Okay, well, let's send them a text. And that kind of, you know, very simple process has actually probably had the biggest effect for us, Martin.
So it's attention to detail. It's listening to what, wherever and however you get that feedback loop from customers. And I do know from having, you know, come and watched what you do, that in addition to deliver service, you have a continuous improvement loop that sort of arcs right the way around everything. To your point, you learn about those little things and you're continuously getting better and smarter on behalf of that customer as well.
Absolutely. Yeah, and our customer closeness centre, which obviously you came and saw, is testament to that. And that started with 20 agents in our Speak head office. You know, I think it's really important that your advisors are close to your head office, and that might be virtually or physically. We chose the physical option because I like a sledgehammer to crack a nut. You know, we're now supercharging that with over 300 agents in our head office who are empowered to go basically work three days from home and 2 days in the office. In those 2 days in the office, they'll be empowered to go and run amok across headquarters and fix customer issues. And that's a really exciting proposition for me when we get back to work, which I'm guessing we all can't wait to get back into some physical location.
So that brings me really to the next question, which is, you know, that frontline colleague, you know, what's the character and the makeup and the psyche of that person in today's world? You know, 2021, we're still locked down. You know, what do you see these days in terms of that type of person?
I see a very different role profile to perhaps we saw in traditional customer service 10, 15 years ago, Martin, absolutely. If I look at the complexity of the types of calls and the types of chats that our colleagues have to do now, they're a world apart from perhaps the simple transactions that we had a few years back, or majoritively simple transactions, because self-service has taken out a lot of, as predicted, as we all know it would, self-service has taken out a lot of that easy, low-hanging fruit for contact centres. And what you've got now is much smaller. You know, my contact centre 3.5 years ago was over 4,000 people. It's now 1,200 people. And, you know, the complexity of the roles that those teams do is phenomenal. You know, we've got fraud investigators, we've got people dealing with customers in financial difficulties or vulnerability. We've got, you know, complex problem solving around large parcels and where they are for customers. You know, the advisors we have today are problem solvers, they're counsellors, they're investigators. They're not, you know, they're not people that can be trained in 2 weeks to do a particular role. And I think that changes the whole ecosystem for us as far as customer care is concerned. It means you need to train people for longer, you need to invest in the technology and your knowledge that you give to people. But it also means you can provide a much broader career for people as well. You know, a number of our fraud investigators have gone on to work in the police. You know, a number of our financial difficulties advisors have gone on to be counsellors. There's different career paths that teams can follow now, and I think that's the exciting part of where we're going, because I think although there's less roles available...
It's a more rewarding job, isn't it?
I believe so. It's a tougher job, and people's, you know, support, mental well-being, and you know, giving people the time to reflect and take time away from the job is really important, because they are. I think it is more intense than it's ever been, and particularly in the current environment. You know, we're all feeling, you know, thoroughly fed up of lockdown, and people need a bit of time to themselves at the moment. But I think the type of roles that people do and the skills that they're now building are far more rewarding than perhaps they were, you know, even 5 years ago.
I mean, an implication of that, I guess, if you reflected over that period of time, you must have seen tweaks to the profile when you've been recruiting and looking for a different type of person.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, the role profile today is vastly different than it perhaps was 5 years ago. And, you know, obviously the industry's been through a huge amount of change. I think you're now seeing right shoring rather than potentially offshoring as well, because you know, offshore locations provide fantastic customer service, and you know, we've got a team out in South Africa that are absolutely phenomenal, and giving them the tools and the systems to do, you know, the types of roles that can be done from offshore, it works really well. But there's certain roles that need to be done onshore for logistical reasons or knowledge reasons. And I think what you're also seeing is those role profiles emerge into people understanding where's the best location, what's the best type of person to do a role, and building role profiles around that rather than a generic customer service role. Now, I'm definitely seeing that in my world and with a lot of my colleagues. I'm not sure if that's something you're seeing, Martin, as well.
It is. I think the point you've made there is a well-made one, which is that, you know, resources remain probably a key part of the overall operating cost. They're incredibly important for the reasons we covered earlier on. But the mix of those skills and where you source them from, I think, is becoming an increasingly sophisticated question and one that there's many more options. I mean, we haven't talked about gig today and we haven't really got the time for it, but there's an emerging one that I've noticed as well. For some people, it works as well. And then back to the point you've made, which is on some of the matters which become complex and emotive, possibly having people who are, you know, indigenous to the culture, if you want, and therefore know their fellow consumers fairly well. I think that that also increasingly matters in today's world. And getting that blend right over time, and as the way in which the contact mix keeps changing, I think the right shoring discussion is one that, again, service leaders probably need to spend more time continuously examining to make sure they've got the right balance there.
Yeah, and to go back to your point around strategy, it should be wholly linked to your strategy. What type of queries do you do? Where's the best place to do them? And building your operating model around that rather than, as you say, cost or efficiency. Because we know that, you know, actually efficiency in customer care comes from getting things right first time, not necessarily anything else.
I've always gone for effectiveness, and efficiency for me is a byproduct.
Yeah,
looks absolutely. That way around. Okay, so I tell you what, another question, another topic, one that everybody will resonate to. What's it like being going through COVID, and how have you navigated that?
Yeah, it's been a whirlwind of 12 months. I guess, you know, the initial few weeks of COVID last March were stressful, unbelievable in parts, and I guess unforgettable for all of us, really. And those first few weeks were absolutely intense, you know, trying to work out and reimagine and redesign your operating model in the matter of 48 hours to make sure that you could service customers effectively was a conundrum that we were all going through at that time. Fortunately for us, we put a cloud-based telephony system in, so. And we've done a lot of work on our technology that meant we could flip our teams to home working within a couple of weeks. And we managed to stand up over 1,000 people in the UK in just under 2 weeks working from home. Excellent. Which was a phenomenal achievement for the from the technology and the project teams. But more importantly, you know, getting our people home safe, allowing them to work and still continue to service our customers, albeit at a fairly degraded level for the first few weeks as we pick that back up again. It was really important for us, particularly as an online retailer. You know, as soon as we went into lockdown, our trading numbers continued to grow, and as you'll have seen with our results, because, you know, online retail was the only place people could get certain essential items from. So it was even more important that we were there for our customers during that time. And obviously, we're a financial services business as well. So, you know, being there to support customers who had queries or were worried about financial health was really important for us during that period, and we managed to, within a couple of weeks, be back on a really good footing. I think, you know, navigating our way through the last 12 months has been tough. I think, you know, having people still working from home now was not something we all imagined, and I think, you know, we've gone through phases in this lockdown, I think, of initial panic and getting everybody sorted through to the summer of eat out, drink as much as you can and get out, so then back into lockdown again.
Yes.
I think by now, you know, January, everyone is thoroughly fed up of lockdown. And I think, you know, we're in the stage now where we're constantly, checking in with our guys, making sure everybody's okay and looking after people's well-being, because I think people, as we just said, have had enough of working from home, and I'm looking forward to the time we can get people back into the office, albeit the operating model has changed forever, and that will be, to everybody's benefit, a much more flexible operating moving forward, where people can work from home some of the time and in the office some of the time as well, which I think would be the best blend for customer care moving forward. And I think it'll attract a lot more people into our industry as well, because of that flexibility to be able to work from home, work around particular home life, for contact centre agents. I guess home working is something that's been talked about in customer care for so many years, and there's a number of companies out there who do it and do it successfully, but never something the industry's gone into huge scale, and that tipped the balance over 2 weeks in March, I think, this year.
Yes.
So you have obviously been on the right side of that trend, being a digital retailer, and seen tremendous growth. Have you, by the way, within the mix that we talked about earlier, seen proportionately more contact from customers in this period of time? It's a mixed picture, I know, having talked to people, and I just wondered whether or not, you know, you had noticed the desire to actually engage has increased, or is it pretty much similar to the pattern that you'd seen before?
We're actually down 25% year on year from a contact perspective, even though we're trading probably, you know, a significant higher up. We did a number of things at the start of COVID. We rolled the chatbot out much wider than we had done previously. It was only in the app previously, and now we've got it across all of our different channels for customers, and obviously that's working very well. Our first contact resolution has continued to go up, and actually we've seen better performance in a lot of metrics as people are working from home, which has been interesting. And as I say, overall contact for us has gone down year on year. So I think we've managed to almost buck that trend a little bit. I know a lot of, as you say, a lot of other companies probably have changed their operating model more than we have, Martin. So I think, you know, we were an online retailer before. We're still an online retailer, so we've managed to kind of progress with our plans, whereas you look at some of the more traditional bricks and mortar retailers, they've had to flip their model to be some retail, some online, and that's probably accentuated their volumes in certain areas if they weren't quite ready for that change.
Some people have had to pivot dramatically. I think you've probably seen an evolution of your original strategy, haven't you?
Yes, absolutely, yeah. And I think we've fast-tracked that quite significantly. So, you know, for us, you know, it's been, as you say, carry on and look after people. For others, it's been a wholehearted change of strategy overnight. It hasn't been that here at the Very Group.
Okay, so I ask that really in the context for the frontline teams. They should not, therefore, have been unduly overburdened by more volume from customers, but I guess they're all fed up a bit being at home, stuck there, looking forward to, you know, back to the office and having a mix there. What's the sort of the feel in the team as we speak? I know right now as we're having this conversation, I think mental health well-being has certainly become much more focused for people. How are you guys collectively faring on that point?
Yeah, it's a constant daily conversation in terms of making sure the teams are okay and supporting the teams on a daily basis. You know, we're doing care calls, and we've blocked out time for all of our teams just to have reflection time. We had a lot of mental health wellbeing stuff in place before COVID, but obviously we've turned all of those things digital now, so that, you know, we've got drop-in kind of calls, and people can have time to reflect, and coaches on hand to support people. I think, you know, to your point, Martin, that the whole crisis has just brought mental health to the fore, and I think that can only be a good thing. We're working with our teams on a daily basis. We have seen our employee engagement go up during this time. I mean, a lot of people are enjoying the flexibility of working from home, and I think as an employer we've done a lot to support people through the crisis, but I do think there's an end point where people have just had, as you say, more than enough of working from home now and want that flexibility.
They're crazy.
To come back into the office and see different faces apart from their family, of which we all love, but yeah, there's only so much time you can spend together without falling out, isn't there? So
Absolutely, and getting that stuff. And I think if memory serves correct, because I've seen you post this, you've also reinvented the office experience, haven't you, when people finally get back to see that?
We have, yeah. So if you think about, obviously everybody's got laptops now instead of the, you know, the big old clunky PCs that were on desks. Everybody has the flexibility and will work from home on a regular basis as we move forward. So the offices have now been completely changed. Our Bolton office today, which is just being finished off, yeah, basically we've got drop-in desks for people where they can come and plug themselves in at any desk, and it's all set up with monitors, and effectively they just plug and play the laptops to come in. But we've built huge collaboration spaces because we want the 2 days when people are in the office to be about team meetings, collaborations, one-to-ones, and that social element of the role, as well as we've said previously, tackling customer issues, feeding back what's wrong. You know, there's wall boards everywhere. There's big breakout collaboration spaces similar to the ones you saw, Martin, when we did our customer closeness center. And they're all set up ready to invite the teams in when they're ready to come back in, because I don't think, you know, we certainly need to move away from those kind of rows of contact center desks and, you know, team leader desks at the end of the desk. There's certainly none of that anymore. It's a modern drop-in office with banks desks where people can socialize and sit. But more importantly, there's big breakout spaces, big brainstorming areas and areas for collaboration when the teams come in, and they look fantastic. Our property teams here at the Very Group have done a fantastic job with them.
Yes, your attention to detail on the environment is impeccable, and I think that makes a real big difference to people at the end of the day. So, different purpose in terms of coming back to the office, what you're doing there, how the environment's configured. It fits into this kind of hybrid working model. That's all going to be exciting stuff. Hey, listen, I think we've got probably now to the limit on our time, Mark. I know there's another couple of things that maybe we can fit in when you actually have your session on the 10th, a round of some of the work you're doing to spread, you know, the work you're doing within the contact centre across the broader group. And then I'd also like to see if we can touch on some of the tips, you know, for people driving this change. Because I do think that what you've managed to do there collectively with the team is really impressive. And there's lots of things that other people can learn from. So hopefully we can spend a little bit of time doing that. But meantime, I'd just like to say thank you very much for giving this preview on what you're going to be talking about. Thoroughly enjoyed it. I hope people who are listening into this have also got a taste for it. Just to remind you, Mark is talking at 11:55 on the 10th of February. So make sure that you've got a ticket and make sure that you're there to listen to Mark. And I'd just like to say again, Mark, thank you very much for spending some time with me this morning. And look forward to seeing you on the 10th.
No worries. Thanks, Martin.